Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show, and happy hump day to you, the middle of the week. We are getting towards the end of summer. We're getting towards real football taking place on the field, and I'm so excited about that. Everybody should be excited. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. And things are getting even more interesting in Miami Gardens. The Dolphins right now, well, right now, at this present moment, they're not practicing, but they were earlier today, and they were not alone on the practice field. They've got some company, the Philadelphia Eagles. They're in town. They had a joint practice earlier today. They've got a joint practice tomorrow. And as I've said over and over again, to me, and probably to the teams too, those joint practices are far more important than what we're going to see in a preseason game. Specifically, the practice this morning and tomorrow with the Dolphins and the Eagles, more important than Saturday night at Hard Rock Stadium, preseason game number 3, it'll be Miami taking on Philadelphia. In that game, the Dolphins coaching staff probably just figuring out how to get down from 80 to 53. I'm sure they have a really good idea how to get from 80 to about 56 right now, 57. But it's those final 4 slots, maybe 5 slots, that could be a little bit tougher. So Dolphins season, real season, will be here before you know it. And we're only about a week and a half away from the Mario Cristobal era starting at the University of Miami. The Miami Hurricanes, I can feel the excitement from Canes fans. They will be on the field next Saturday. Not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, Mario Cristobal will be coming out of that tunnel, running through the smoke, and I hope there's a lot of people there in Miami Gardens. I know it's just the Canes against Bethune-Cookman, but this is a brand new era for UM. Manny Diaz, he got fired. Mario, he got hired. And that sequence of events, it has led to exciting times in Coral Gables. And I really hope exciting times in Miami Gardens too at Hard Rock Stadium. And then even more exciting times for the Canes' third game of the year at Texas A&M. But fans, you should be all revved up and ready to go. Heck, I was talking to one of the guys at Flanagan's. I should say Flanagan's, because that's more or less how the commercial goes from what I can recall. But I go there a lot. And I spoke to them this morning, actually, because I'm going to have people over at my house for week 1. And I got all my screens up, and I always get Flanagan's for week 1, and I get Flanagan's for the Super Bowl. So I'm ready for that. Have a nice spread. Have about 8 friends over and just watch all of the action week 1. People ask me all the time, are you going to go to the Dolphins game? I can only go to a Dolphins game if it's essentially on a Monday night. I cannot miss all the other action. Diehard Dolphins fans, maybe you don't care about all the other action. You're just into the Miami Dolphins. But I love every single game. I watch every single game. I got to have my red zone. I got to have another game on the left, another game on the right. And that's my typical Sunday. And then I'll go out for the Sunday night game. But if I go to Hard Rock Stadium to watch a game, you can't focus on anything else but the game in front of you. And if you're watching something on your phone, maybe some of you do that, then what's the point of being at the game? Like, I can only pay attention to what's in front of me. It's hard. I don't mind multitasking, but it's got to be in front of me. So when I've got 3 screens in front of me, I'm good. When I got 1 game, though, in front of me and I'm there live, it just doesn't work, at least for me. Some of you probably different. You're like, oh, no, come on. It's great. And then there's people nowadays. This is a thing. Some of you, maybe some of you right now in this audience, you'll go to a Dolphins game or a Canes game, but you won't go inside. People will just go there to park, and they'll sit in the lot with a television or multiple TVs and barbecue just to be part of the atmosphere. I don't know about that. If you're a Dolphins fan and you're out there in the parking lot, and this is the stuff that I think of here. So you're out there in the parking lot, you're tailgating, and you don't go in. You just sit out there, and maybe you've got comfortable chairs and your tent and everything, and you're barbecuing, but you've got the game on television, and then you've got the stadium right there where you hear the excitement, the booing, the cheering, whatever it is going on, and you're not going to see what happened because your television's going to be on a delay from the actual live game taking place. So that would ruin the whole experience. There's some times where I'll go to a restaurant, or maybe you go to a plaza where there's multiple restaurants, and they've got a game on, and one of the televisions, whether it's at the same restaurant or a different restaurant next to the one you're at, they're on like a 2 or 3 second delay based on the cable system they have or satellite. I can't deal with that. We all need to find out what's happening at the same time. I don't want to hear cheering and, oh, something's about to happen. Let me watch. I can't deal with that. And that's why I think we're also going to have a little bit of an issue with the Sunday ticket, because the Sunday ticket is apparently moving after this year from DirecTV to a streaming service. And streaming services, They're not all perfect. They're not where you're getting it exactly like or 1 second after it's happening. I don't know how that's going to work out, especially when the Hard Rock Sportsbook comes back for live wagering. There might be a bit of a delay. And I don't think I'm being weird about any of this, because if this kind of stuff doesn't bother you, then what kind of fan are you? Come on. What are you going to tell me? Andy, I don't care if I hear cheering and I don't see what happens for another 5 seconds. No, come on. You can't. Can't be like that. Maybe some of you are cheering right now because we had election night yesterday. One election down, the primaries are over. So that means let the commercials begin. Not here on this show, though. I don't get into politics. I don't tell you who to vote for. But now we get all these text messages. So many different candidates I have. They're campaigns texting me and emailing me, and it just gets so, I'm so sick of all of that. Come on. What's up with all of these spam messages and calls? I had to go to the setting in my iPhone to silence unknown callers. I get like 12 spam calls a day, and I keep blocking the numbers, but it doesn't matter. They just keep coming and coming and coming. And now that the primaries are over, the governor's race, DeSantis against Charlie Crist, between now and November, can you imagine how many political commercials and text messages and phone calls we're going to see and we're going to get every day? It's going to be a sprint to November. My only take on this kind of stuff is very simple. You have the right to vote, vote. There's lots of ways to vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but you have the right to vote, so go ahead and use that right. I have the right to be here and give you my opinion on sports, and that's what I want to do. But I can't until the hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I believe on Monday I brought it up for just a minute. But right now I want to get into it a little bit more. And I could do that because it's the Andy Slater Show, which happens to be my name. My name doesn't have show in it, but the Andy Slater part, yes. I want everyone to think about this. And I brought this up yesterday, if you heard Uncle Luke on this show. Luke, I'm just glad he survived those 14 or 15 minutes because it sounded like he was in pretty bad shape. And maybe some of your ears, like mine, were in bad shape after that. But that's okay. Sometimes bad radio is good radio. Yesterday with Luke, I mentioned Mike McDaniel and Brian Flores. Why did I bring up Brian Flores again? Well, it became a whole conversation about election night and who would you elect to be the Dolphins coach this year? Would it still be Brian Flores or would you elect their new head coach, Mike McDaniel? Think about how different the enthusiasm level, the excitement, and the storylines are, not only for the Miami Dolphins, but also for the Miami Hurricanes. And the enthusiasm, the excitement, and the storylines, they're so different because of a coaching change. UM getting Mario, the Dolphins getting Mike McDaniel. In an alternate universe, if the Dolphins and Canes had stood pat, we could have been talking about another year of Camp Manny Diaz and another year of Camp Brian Flores. If we were doing that over the last month, if I was talking about that and you guys were tuned into that, could you imagine how much more boring those camps would have been? Reality is, if either of those coaches, Manny or Brian, if either of them had survived last season, this show and every show in town, they would have had one topic. Here we are on job watch for Manny and for Flores. That's what it would have been, job watch. We're kind of on job watch for Tua, in a way. Is he going to be the guy or not? But that would have been the conversation for Brian Flores. That would have been the conversation for Manny Diaz. We would have talked about how it's a put up or shut up year, just like we are with Tua. Manny and Flores would have been giving us the same exact boring sound, the same interviews for another year, the same perspective for another year, just a lot more the same. But as for their replacements, we don't know what kind of job Mike McDaniel is going to do with the Miami Dolphins. He's never been a head coach before. We also don't know how Mario's going to do with the University of Miami. We got a better feeling about that because he has been a head coach before. But at this point, we've had training camp. We've had this whole lead up to the season. And I think when we talk about the University of Miami and the Miami Dolphins with our friends, it's been a lot more fun, hasn't it? Hasn't it been a lot more exciting? And tickets, they're going a lot faster. Now, to be fair here, at least to Brian Flores, the Miami Dolphins went out and they made a monster trade. The Tyreek Hill deal, it changes so much about what the Dolphins can do offensively. It helps Tua out. It allows Mike McDaniel to go into his bag to make up creative stuff to give Tyreek. Perhaps a small part of that is Mike McDaniel has the advantage of a better roster. So that deal, it did change a lot. But another point worth mentioning, which is an advantage to the new coaches, is that anytime you get a new coach, things should be more exciting. They should be more fun because you've got that honeymoon period. The fan gets pumped to see that team with the new coach. You get high hopes. Everyone's soundbite sounds better because it's different. But when a coach is 0-0, we're going to be excited. We're going to have high hopes. That changes as the record changes. So we'll see how the perception will be with Mike McDaniel and Mario Cristobal over the next few weeks. If the Miami Dolphins come out and they lose to New England and they start the season 1-4 or something what are we going to think about Mike McDaniel then? But right now, everything seems great. He seems like a genius. It seems like it's all going to work. And with Mario Cristobal, everything that has been done in the offseason there with UM and the recruiting and all of the talk and the rankings, everything seems fantastic. But neither team's played a game yet. With Mike McDaniel, one of the things that makes training camp fun with him, every single question that I've heard him asked, he thinks about right now. He thinks in the present moment. We've established already that he's a funny guy. That's not debatable. He's funny. But what I really respect is he doesn't punt on questions. He tells you what's really going through his mind. It may not be the answer that the reporters want or an answer they expect, but there's never been a time where you watch Mike McDaniel talk and you're thinking he's just saying blah, 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 and it's boring. I haven't thought that once. By contrast, with Brian Flores, he always seemed bored and a little annoyed to talk to the media. Now, he was courteous. He wasn't rude. Adam Gase was a bit rude. Brian Flores wasn't. But he never said anything. He never singled out guys. We would always hear offense, defense, special teams. It's a team game. And that was the answer to almost every question. As for Manny versus Mario, by the end of Manny, he seemed broken. Like if you have a coach who is struggling and a team that's underperforming, that's exactly how Manny Diaz looked. And I'm so glad that Mario Cristobal's at UM. Lane Kiffin would have been great, but I don't think Lane Kiffin would have been able to recruit like Mario has. Mario's done an outstanding job. And I hope that translates to the football field very soon. What I think a Canes fan would be looking for is some fight from a coach, some pushback, some resistance. Manny Diaz, he looked like he was all out of it. And by contrast, Mario, he looks refreshed. Mario looks renewed. Mario looks excited to be the head coach at the University of Miami. And when you get that excitement from a coach, the fans see it, all of you see it, and it translates to everything around you, especially your fan base. If you have a coach talking to the media, just saying boring things and any words that are coming out of the coach's mouth, we all know they don't really mean anything. That's just boring, and the fan has nothing to get excited about. Mike McDaniel, I think he gets Dolphins fans excited because of the way he speaks. Very knowledgeable, seems like a genius. Gives you a lot of details. And Mario Cristobal, that dude, he's just something else. So I got a simple question for Dolphins fans. At least I think it's pretty simple. I'm going to get to it in just a minute. What you guys should get to, Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, where you'll be surrounded by gorgeous girls, 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 girls. And what makes Dean's Gold the ultimate gentleman's club is that they have beautiful ladies who come from all over the world. So many different countries are represented at Dean's Gold, and you could be surrounded by these gorgeous women. And you could go to Dean's Gold any day you want because they're open 7 days a week from 8 p.m. all the way until 6 in the morning. Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, is located on the northeast corner of Northeast 163rd Street and Biscayne Boulevard. That's in North Miami Beach. Go have yourself a great Wednesday night or even early Thursday morning. Surround yourself with beautiful women who come from all over the world. There's only one building in South Florida you could do that. It is the ultimate gentleman's club, Dean's Gold. So I think this is a simple question for Dolphins fans. The Philadelphia Eagles, they're in town. And they're practicing with the Miami Dolphins, joint practices. They had one earlier today. They have another one tomorrow. Here's my simple question, because that obviously wasn't a question. My question is, who has the better starting quarterback, the Eagles or the Dolphins? Two Alabama dudes, Tua and Jalen Hurts. Which one of them is better? Between Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa, who is going to have a better career? Can you answer that question? It's a very simple question. There's nothing more to it than who is going to have a better career, Tua or Jalen Hurts? Very simple question. I didn't say the answer was simple, but the question is simple. The answer, it may be a little tough, at least right now. Remember, this show, we are always all about
honesty.
So I'm going to give you my honest assessment. I don't think Jalen Hurts is a very good passer. I do think he brings the added dimension to the Eagles with his legs, much better than what Tua brings to the Dolphins with his. But I do think Tua is more accurate than Jalen Hurts. If I had to give an answer right now, again, question is simple, answer maybe not so simple, but it's just one of them. I mean, you can't have another answer. There's no letter C option here. It's either Tua or Jalen Hurts. If I had to answer that question right now, I would say Tua. I think Tua's got a lot more potential, and I think we're going to see it this season. This is going to be fun to watch. I'm not talking about Saturday night, because both those dudes will be watching the game. But I'm talking about this will be fun to watch throughout the year and for many years throughout their careers. Look, week one, the Miami Dolphins get Mac Jones. Mac's another Bama dude. The guy who came after Tua going up against him. And we've already seen that matchup. It'll be interesting, though, when I say to watch this play out. It's not just Jalen Hurts and Tua, but you can also include Mac Jones in there. 10 years from now, one of those three guys is going to turn out to be the best quarterback from the Alabama bunch. I'm not sure which one. It's sort of a wait-to-see situation. But my specific question was Jalen Hurts and Tua, because they're in the joint practice together right now. If you put Mac Jones in that question, then the answer becomes, I think, even more difficult. Although to some of you, maybe you're like, oh, well, then the answer becomes easier because it's definitely Mac Jones. Tua right now, I can't come to a final judgment with him, and I don't think anybody should come to a final judgment with him. If you go back to shows from the end of last season, you'll probably find audio where I'm on here saying, I really don't think Tua is going to be the guy. Not that I didn't want him to succeed or I don't want him to succeed. I do. I want him to be successful and be the Dolphins franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. But based on what I was seeing towards the end of last season, it just didn't seem like that could be the case. But now there's a whole different offensive philosophy. You got a brand new head coach. Tua's got weapons. Jalen Waddle, and hopefully Jalen's going to be okay. Tyreek Hill, come on. He's been given running backs. The offensive line, they need to step up. But he's got weapons around him. So this is a put up or shut up year for Tua. And we all know that, and he knows that. In the end, he might be the best quarterback that came out of that Bama bunch. A lot of that may have to do with Nick Saban and his teaching. And speaking of Nick Saban,
I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. I think I've said this over and over and over again.
Well, yeah, we all know he did go there, and what a contract extension he just got. Kissing that $100 million mark, another 8 years. Nick Saban is worth every penny. He's probably worth a lot more pennies what he has done for that program. I know so many people still in South Florida have this thing against Saban because of what he said.
But I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. I think I've said this over and over and over again.
But you got to give it to the guy. What he has built, the way Alabama wins at the college level, the way that they're cranking out pros, there isn't a number that you can come up with relative to Nick Saban where I would say, yeah, he's being overpaid. They're overdoing it. It's too far. No. Nick Saban is worth every single penny that he's given. Mario Cristobal, he's also getting a nice salary, and I hope in the end that Mario is worth every single penny that he is being given, because then the University of Miami, they'll be back. Finally, in a few years, hopefully, we could say the U is officially back. But we've got to wait. And maybe the U will be back with a new stadium. I got into that yesterday. I highly doubt this is going to happen. But there was a little back and forth there between Mr. NIL, John Ruiz, and the mayor of Miami-Dade County, Mayor Danielle Levine Cava. I want to get into more of a Miami-Dade conversation, not only having to do with the stadium, but also somebody who people call Mr. Miami. There's a lot of Mr. Miamis running around, Mr. 305. But Pat Riley broke a little news yesterday. I'm not saying Pat Riley is Mr. Miami, but he did speak about somebody and broke a little news that I want to discuss, and we can get to that in just a few moments. And speaking of a few moments, it'll only take you a little amount of time to visit CostaRicaDentalTeam.com and find out about saving a fortune on dental work. I have been to the Costa Rica Dental Team many times myself, so I could tell you firsthand the work and the staff at the Costa Rica Dental Team, absolutely top-notch, and they will save you 50 to 70% when compared to U.S. dental prices. Maybe you need crowns, veneers, implants, whatever dental work you need done, the Costa Rica Dental Team, they will save you so much money compared to U.S. dental prices. So check it out for yourself. Visit CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. That's CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. Inquire about their pricing, and then you could start planning your Costa Rica dental vacation later today. A new stadium for the University of Miami. Highly doubt that's going to happen, but more stuff came up yesterday, even though I brought this up yesterday on the show. Well, after the show, there were some tweets sent out by John Ruiz, and he keeps talking about it on social media. John Ruiz says he's going to build UM a football stadium by 2025 at Tropical Park with a retractable roof. Should I insert a laugh track? Do I have a laugh track here? I knew I could find one. An old call, Juan from Little Havana. You can't tell me that John Ruiz, an attorney with a ton of money and a ton of influence, did not look at Jorge Mas and the deal that he's tried to work for Inter Miami. You can't tell me that he didn't look at that deal and say, maybe I could do that too. Because that's what it looks like to me. This is a solution looking for a problem. I think John Ruiz is telling people he's trying to fix something that really is not a problem. That's how I see it. I talked about this with Luke yesterday. He's like, oh yeah, UM needs a new stadium. I think Hard Rock Stadium is world class. And I'm talking about world class as a venue. I don't say that to kiss up to Stephen Ross, because what do I care what Stephen Ross thinks about me? Unless if he thinks highly of people, he's going to give them $5 million each. Okay. But no, that's not happening. I just see this as someone who cares about South Florida sports. If Hard Rock Stadium is good enough for Super Bowls, if it's good enough for the World Cup, if it's good enough for national championship games, you're telling me that it's not good enough for UM Bethune-Cookman? Keep in mind, the Hurricanes football team plays 6, sometimes 7 home games a year. That's it. So your whole goal is to build a 60,000-seat stadium for 6 or 7 home games a year? Why? The Canes have a perfectly good option right now. Now, if they are going to do it, my only argument would be, well, Hard Rock Stadium is far from campus, so if you're going to build a new stadium, why don't we build it on campus? That would be the only actual problem to be solved, right? Hard Rock Stadium is a little far for students to get to. Although, again, we're talking about 6 or 7 times a year. And the school also has buses. If a UM student really wants to get to a game, they can find their way. We're not talking about an hour-long drive. Come on. But it's not on campus. However, we're not talking about such a long drive. Like, my gosh. There's no way I would make a drive from Coral Gables to Miami Gardens. It's really not all that bad. So I just feel that John Ruiz saw what Jorge Mas did, although there's no shovels in the ground yet, but he put it in front of the city commission, and this would be something similar with the Miami-Dade commissioners, get it on the ballot, and now you've got all of this land where, like, the mayor, see, this is what happened here, this conversation back and forth. The mayor told CBS Miami Tropical Park is not for sale. Jorge Mas didn't buy the land next to Miami International Airport. He only got the rights to be able to lease the land, and that's what would happen at Tropical Park. So the mayor says Tropical Park is not for sale. I don't think anybody's saying it's for sale. It's county property. But it could be leased. And not only would you have a stadium there, again, you look at what Jorge Mas is trying to put together. Hotels, restaurants, you're collecting all of this rent money. This is all about business. John Ruiz is loaded because he's a businessman. He is not stupid. Neither is Jorge Mas. If you think Jorge Mas is really only in this for just the stadium for his soccer team, well, I got a lot of things to sell you. And if you think John Ruiz is only in this to get a stadium for 6 or 7 University of Miami football games in a year, I got a lot more stuff to sell you. Please email me. I want to sell you many things. Because that is certainly not the case. I could tell you what is the case, though, at Gulfstream Park. A great meal, a great time, and exciting racing action. I love going to Gulfstream Park, and they've got live races happening every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday right now during the Royal Palm Meets. I was just there a couple of Saturdays ago, had a nice meal, watched the races live right in front of me, wagered on them. But whether you're into wagering or not, you're going to have a great time at Gulfstream Park. When I go to Gulfstream Park, I go to their trackside restaurant, 10 Palms. So I have a nice meal, and I see the racing right there, live on the track in front of me, just yards away. You can have the same experience. Visit GulfstreamPark.com to make your dining reservation at their trackside restaurant, 10 Palms, and head on out any live race day, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, for a great time in our own backyard at Gulfstream Park. Programming note, every Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol joins us, and today is Wednesday, so that means right now Lieutenant would be on with us. However, as I'm sure all of you are aware, the final respects being paid to fallen officer Cesar Echeverry from the Miami-Dade Police Department. We don't do sad on this show. That was a very sad situation. But today, Lieutenant Camacho, as I'm sure everyone can understand, and so many law enforcement officers throughout South Florida and the country, they all gathered at Loan Depot Park. You probably saw it on television. Services there. And today, Lieutenant Camacho has the day off from this program, understandably. And we all feel for what happened to Officer Echeverry and the entire Miami-Dade Police Department. So Lieutenant Camacho, he will be back with us next Wednesday. We found out just, 3 days ago, the big news, the news we were all waiting for, maybe a little bit overblown, but UD is coming back for year number 20 with the Miami Heat. And yesterday, Pat Riley, little subtle breaking news from him in the Miami Heat's official announcement of UD coming back. They also said that his number 40 will be retired by the Heat organization. The number 40 will go up in the rafters at the FTX Arena. And I thought, I already knew for sure that no one would wear number 40 again for the Miami Heat in my lifetime. But I thought that because I believed Udonis Haslem was going to stay on the roster for another 50 years. I mean, why not? Just take the veteran minimum, play 2 minutes a season. UD could do that well into his 80s. So I thought, yeah, no one's ever going to wear 40 again. He's not going to give it up. But it's good to see that UD is going to get that honor after this season. There's no question that UD deserves it. He's been a three-time champ. Hopefully will be a four-time champ. He's the all-time rebounding leader. He protected D. Wade for 2 decades. And now he's the official culture installer. If you ever need culture installed in your company, your business, your house, well, you just call on UD. He's a culture installer. And if you want to really know UD's value to the Heat, just go talk to anyone around the league. If you run into someone around the league at a Publix or something, or Winn-Dixie, or Piggly Wiggly, whatever it is, the respect level, Pantry Pride, that was one of my favorites. The respect level that UD has built up during these 20 years or so, it's unmatched. We can joke about his playing time now, but the level of respect that he's built up across the entire NBA as the OG, it's 100% real. It's spectacular. And I really hope that UD can add another ring to his collection this season, his last season. If the Heat are going to do it, it seems like it's going to be without acquiring Kevin Durant. I brought it up at the top of the hour yesterday, and I talked a lot of Dolphins and Hurricanes here this afternoon, but now that I speak about UD, I realize that we spent so much time over the last 3 months or so talking about Kevin Durant, and then the end result of that is just like, okay, I'll quickly bring it up on yesterday's program, and then we'll move along, that KD is going to stay with the Brooklyn Nets, at least as of now. At least that's what the Nets are saying. He's with them for another 4 years. Remember, KD was so unhappy. He asked for a trade. Every team in the league lost their minds, the Miami Heat included. Everyone tried to put together a package, the Miami Heat included. And what did it amount to? KD sits down with the Nets brass. I'm not sure exactly how that went, but the end result, Kevin Durant, he's under contract for 4 more years, and he's staying here. At least that's what's being said by the organization and by multiple reports. Now, I would imagine to get another championship here, Pat Riley will keep his eyes on this situation. Just because KD isn't moving now, just because the right deal wasn't there right now doesn't mean that they're not going to give it another shot. Just because everything is moving forward at this point doesn't mean that it will in a month from now, 2 months from now, 4 months from now. Something could obviously still happen. And maybe something changes in the Nets organization where KD gets frustrated yet again. And he says, all right, I'm not even going to play. I want to get out of here. So for Pat Riley and really every decision maker in the NBA, right now it's just watch and wait. Not only with Kevin Durant, but you're always waiting to see what star is going to become disgruntled. And we've seen that a lot. Stars on teams just get mad. They don't want to be there anymore. Internally, they request a trade. Publicly, they'll request a trade. And when that happens, you've got to be ready to pounce on that opportunity. I'm sure the Miami Heat gave it a run here with KD. But whatever they offered, it didn't work. Will that be the same situation down the line? Whatever they offered, may it work in a few months from now? Potentially. But the Miami Heat, we know they need to replace PJ Tucker. I understand why they waited. That's what you do when an all-time great is available. And KD is on that list. It's a very short list, but he's on that list where if this player is available, you wait. But PJ Tucker left, and the Miami Heat are thin at that position. Positionless or not, PJ brought a lot to the table, and the Miami Heat need to replace that. If they don't, they won't be as good as last year. And others in the Eastern Conference, they got better. I don't think the Miami Heat are going to be in a spot where Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg and Eric Spoelstra and Mickey Arison, and I can go on with a few more names, I don't think the Heat will be in that position where they'll go into a season where they're going to be worse. I think Pat Riley and the rest of the Heat front office are smart enough to know, and we all trust them. If there's any front office or organization we trust in South Florida sports, it's definitely the Heat's. They're going to get better. They're not going to get worse. If they're not going to be better, they're at least going to be the same. But they're not going to be worse. But when you've got other teams in the East getting better, and you just lost PJ Tucker and you don't have a replacement yet, well, that's not necessarily a formula for having the same type of season you had last year or a better one. So I would imagine the Miami Heat do something. But right now, we just have to wait. All right, that's all the time I have for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.